This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
As America marks its 250th anniversary, we're looking back at 2.5 centuries of rebellion and liberty through the eyes of the heroes who defended it.
The whole thing about this country is freedom. If we're not careful, we could lose that.
On Medal of Honor, Stories of Courage, we bring you the defining moments of valor that went above and beyond the call of duty. Listen to Medal of Honor on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a Wednesday. I promised to get to some emails this hour, but we are going to discuss something about the communist world of make-believe that is maintained and created with a purpose by the elite communists who are politicians and in the media and the professors as well. A demonic religion of destruction is an impossible thing to sell if you're going to be honest about it. Therefore, the communist understands he must lie about everything at all times. You got all that. But not just little lies. You've told little lies. Maybe you've even told big lies in your life, but you've told little lies. You're not proud of them, but you've done it. Hey, honey, I love that spaghetti. Best I've ever had. Everyone's told little lies. Communists will tell huge lies, but normal people, decent people, can be confused by that because no one would believe it, right? Rachel Maddow was talking about the drug dealers who are getting nuked out of drug boats coming from Venezuela. Now, keep in mind, before I play what I'm about to play, I think every one of these, if not almost every one of these, you can watch a video of it. We live in this bizarre era where combat that takes place in the middle of the ocean is something that you can watch a video of on social media. If you would like to watch a video of a drug boat getting nuked out of the water, you can watch it. Yeah, good point, Chris. The White House will post it. You can watch it. You can look at the boats. Everyone can. Not just me. You, everybody can. You can look at the boat. And every one of these boats looks pretty similar. Very clearly a speedboat of some kind. And every single one of these boats has not one, not two, usually three or four, I think I saw one with more, but three or four motors on the back. Expensive ones too, because the idea is you want to move through the water and move through the water very, very quickly. And drug dealers, cartels have money coming out of their ears. So you invest the money, you buy some good motors for it. Every one of these boats. And again, every human being with internet access can look at the boat itself and see the engines, see the motors. If you watch MSNBC, here's what Rachel Maddow told you.
And I'm not sure the administration has even bothered to try to come up with anything even internally coherent in terms of explaining why Trump has proclaimed that we are at war with Venezuela. My sense is that they wanted to use the Alien Enemies Act to illegally deport people, arrest and deport people from this country that actually weren't subject to deportation. They decided the Alien Enemies Act was a way to do that. They then realized the Alien Enemies Act required a war. So then they declared a war. Then they needed a reason for the war. So then they reverse engineered some sort of reason for the war. Mm-hmm. Ostensibly right now, the reason for the war is to stop drug trafficking into the United States. Why are we blowing out of the water and killing people in boats with outboard motors, some of which aren't even pointed towards the United States, let alone...
What? What'd she say? Tell you what, set that one aside. Remember when Joe Biden declared that he was running for president? Remember that? Remember the reason he gave?
When did you get to 100%? When did you know this is something that I have to do for yourself?
Charlottesville. When those folks came out of the fields carrying torches with contorted faces and carrying Nazi flags. When the president was asked about it, he said, they asked what he thought. He said, I thought there were very fine people on both sides. No president, sitting president, has ever said anything like that.
Chuck Schumer, virtually every Democrat has echoed this.
When in Charlottesville, when they rioted against the Jews and wanted to harass or even burn down a temple, he said both sides have merit.
Here's what Donald Trump said.
I do think there's blame. Yes, I think there's blame on both sides. You look at both sides. I think there's blame on both sides, and I have no doubt about it, and you don't have any doubt about it either. And you had some very bad people in that group. But you also had people that were very fine people on both sides.
Communists tell gigantic, easily verifiable lies because it works on a certain percentage of the population. Whatever percentage of the population consumes traditional media sources will inevitably believe gigantic, outright lies told by the communists, even though you, the informed person, knew they were lies immediately. You've known about the truth. Surely everyone knows about the truth. You already watched the video. You already heard the sound. But normal people who don't escape that bubble have no idea, and therefore the communist gets away with lies. Would you like an amazing example? Sad, but amazing. You remember Charlie Kirk, our martyr, was assassinated. He was assassinated by some deranged commie freak. His family talked about how he'd turned into a commie. All these online chat things we know now with all the tranny, furry, demonic crap. This is known by you. It's known by me. Again, even the guy's own family has come out and said, yeah, he really took a dark turn, a real dark commie turn. You want to hear the percentage of likely voters who know he was a left winger? 24%. 24%. Remember when Jimmy Kimmel came out on his late night show and said the guy was MAGA? That's what he said. Said the guy was a right winger. You yelled and screamed. Maybe you even rolled your eyes. That's a lie. Everyone knows that's a lie. No. You know that's a lie. Hyper-informed people who care enough about the issues to dig in and learn the issues know that Democrat lies are Democrat lies. But normal people who read the New York Times, they watch ABC at night, they have no earthly idea they're lies. Those communist street animals out there, good point, Chris, they believe the lies too. You think they ever tune into the Jesse Kelly Show? When they hear their representatives, when they hear Democrat politicians saying things like this, they believe it.
The American people's anger and tolerance of DHS violations of our rights, that's what's the result of DHS unlawful, unaccountable, unconstitutional actions, which put the American people and our liberties at risk every day. Let me be very clear. The Department of Homeland Security, you can quote me on that, is the single biggest threat to public safety right now.
You understand that DHS is busy tracking down, arresting, and deporting people who are in this country illegally. You are well aware that they're focusing on the worst first, that the criminal records of the people they're arresting and deporting are, it's amazing there are people this sick and violent on the planet, murderers, child rapists, and the worst people. You understand all that. Your liberal Aunt Peggy doesn't have a freaking clue. for your liberal Aunt Peggy because she watches NBC, because she reads the Washington Post, because she listens when Democrat politicians say things like Delia Ramirez just said, your liberal Aunt Peggy believes that as we speak, ICE is kicking in the door of a Latino daycare and handcuffing toddlers and chucking them back across the border into Mexico. She lives in a world of make-believe. It has been constructed for her by evil communists in the media and Democrat politicians and a large percentage of Americans. They live in that world too. This is the benefit of social media. For all the bad things you can say and correctly say about social media, the real benefit of social media is it allows normal people to finally escape the world of make-believe communists trap them in. It's the only reason, let's be honest, you, me, it's the only reason we ever managed to break out and find out the truth about things. Think how dumb you were in 1990 when all you had was the same three news channels on the television set, the same big newspapers. It's not your fault. It wasn't my fault. How would we know? It was the only source of information we had. But remember how many of your fellow Americans have not broken out yet. Anyway, we'll be back.
He doesn't care if you believe him, but he's right. Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Wednesday. Remember, you can email us, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Frosty the Snowman voice actor Jackie Vernon exposed by Sun for having three secret families. I just don't understand. I don't understand who has time for these secret families. This is something, and the only reason I know about this is like half the women, probably 80% of the women in this country, is obsessed with crime dramas and stuff like that. You know how it is. If I walk in on Ob and she's getting dressed or something like that, she's got some crime podcast on of something. It's always serial killer this and crime that. And therefore, I always have to get the updates on whatever horrible story she's listening to is. Guys with secret families. Now, how do you have time for that? Who has time for that? Are you not busy with the one family you have? And I'm not complaining. I'm completely blessed to have a family. I realize that. But where is all this free time for two? Let alone three. Everything is sports practice, and you got to go here, and you got to go there. And we have a school concert this night, and then we have to do this, and we have to do that. What does the second family know? They're the second family. I would assume not. Chris, do you think the second family knows? They would have to, right? You're gone half the time. Maybe it's a I work out of town thing. Hey, what? I'm a traveling salesman or something like that. But no, at some point in time, you got to go to the office and see where dad works. I just don't understand who has the time or the energy. Plus, just wrap your mind around how horrible this would be. Imagine two different women telling you how to drive. Who would even go through that? I would never. I could never. Hey, Oracle. Prior to the rise of socialism and communism, is there any instance in history where government has sought to kill its own citizens? Oh, so many times. So many times. Now, socialism and communism really kind of, they took the normal evils of government and they made them so much worse. So while it's happened before, it's never happened to the level of the Soviets. Or remember, Pol Pot still has the record. Nobody matched Pol Pot. Pol Pot killed 25% of his own country in 4 years. 4 years has wiped them all out. Nobody's done it like the socialists and the commies. No one has done that. But as we talked about before, evil leaders who don't seek to serve their country, to better their country, who make it all about themselves, inevitably, they are going to run up against
patriotic people in whatever country they're in who want what's best for the country. And if you're an evil, selfish tyrant with an army, a secret police agency at your fingertips, if you have nothing moral against it, it becomes a fairly simple math equation. I want this. The people in my country who love the country don't want to let me have it. There are how many of those people? Well, I can solve that problem pretty easily by just killing them all. It's if you have nothing moral against it, it's the no-brainer thing. And remember, this we're dealing with this right now in the United States of America. Democrat after Democrat after Democrat have said certain things that probably have made you raise your eyebrows. What do they mean by this? Surely they don't mean it's that bad, right? What did Senator, United States Senator Mark Warner, what did he mean when he said this?
This is an administration that's fired, you know, uniformed generals from the head of the NSA, the head of the Defense Intelligence Agency. Mm-hmm. And I think in many ways, the uniformed military may help save us from this president and his lame people like Hegseth.
What? The uniformed military may help save us from people like the administration and Pete Hegseth? What does he mean by that? Surely he doesn't mean the military would take up arms to remove the Republican administration. Surely he doesn't mean that, right? Of course he means that. And of course they would do that in a heartbeat. Do you remember... It passed most people by, but do you remember during the Biden administration how often it just kind of became normal for Democrats to threaten the military, threaten the use of military on their political opponents? Joe Biden was the president, said it all the time. You need fighter jets to take on the government. What did you just say? Are you going to send fighter jets after us, Mr. President? Eric Swalwell said it. Hey, you need nukes to take on the government. Really, Eric? What do you want to do with those nukes? Where do you want to drop the nukes, Eric? This is how these people think. And we convince ourselves, because this is America, that they won't actually go that far. I know we're already lying to ourselves about what might happen once Democrats take power again. Surely they won't go as far as they did last time, right? Oh my gosh. Remember, they didn't go near as far as they wanted to go last time. They declared angry school board moms to be domestic terrorists and opened FBI files on them. What do you think they'll do next time? Remember Verizon? We're now finding more and more out about this. Verizon wouldn't even tell United States senators that the FBI was consuming their phone data. Verizon said, no, we'll give all your information to the FBI and we won't ever tell you about it. Verizon was complicit. By the way, have you switched to Pure Talk yet, or do you still pay Verizon to betray you? You know, Pure Talk didn't betray you. You know, Pure Talk never gave to Black Lives Matter. You know, Pure Talk has never taken your money and used it for communism in this country. But Verizon, AT&T, and T-Mobile sure have. Do you want to save a fortune? $29.95 for their unlimited plan for the life of your customership. Is that a word, Chris? For the life of you being a customer at Pure Talk. Unlimited plan, $29.95 a month. I've never seen that before. May never see it again. I have no idea. Dial #250 and say Jesse Kelly. Switch to Pure Talk. #250, say Jesse Kelly. And remember, we're down to the last few days of this. Don't miss out on that. Also, restrictions apply. See puretalk.com for details. We'll be back.
Feeling a little stalky? Follow, like, and subscribe on social at Jesse Kelly DC.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
2026 marks the 250th anniversary of America. The soul of this country is found in the stories of those who defended it. I'm J.R. Martinez, a U.S. Army veteran. I know that true valor isn't just a word. It's a choice made in a split second. That's why I'm honored to bring you a brand new season of Medal of Honor, Stories of Courage from Pushkin Industries and iHeart Podcast. You'll fly into the heart of a rescue mission with Air Force pilot James Fleming in Vietnam.
I'm going to put you out in the middle of hell. If you have to come home, I'll bring you home. That's my duty. It's my honor.
We'll also travel back to 1926 to witness Richard Byrd's historic flight over the North Pole. These are more than just stories of combat. They are testaments to leadership, community, and the human spirit. Listen to Medal of Honor on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Wednesday. We'll get to the emails in a moment. But speaking of senators, Democrat senators, Senator Jack Reed went on CNN and said, "The most unintentionally hilarious thing I think I've heard in quite some time. I don't want to paraphrase. I'll give it to him."
And most narco traffickers are not in those boats. They pay people to do that. And usually people who are not significantly involved with narco trading. It's the way they make money.
What? They're not narco traffickers. They're just people who take money to drive the drugs from one place to the other. They're not people who traffic in narcotics. They only do it for money. We really do elect some of the dumbest people on the planet.
And most narco traffickers are not in those boats. They pay people to do that. And usually people who are not significantly involved with narco trading, it's the way they make money.
They're not involved in narco trading. They just take money to transport the drugs from location A to location B. They're not guys who traffic in narcotics. Gosh, guys. Jesse, I like capitalism as much as anyone. I like stuff and folks wanting stuff and all that. But the radio news says consumer spending way up, and I'm supposed to be happy about that? When did America just become about consumer spending? All right. So it's actually a very good question. I get the skepticism. First of all, remember, when it comes to the economy in economic numbers, there are a variety of different metrics people use. And you know the metrics people usually use? The one that tells whatever tale they want told. If consumer spending numbers look great, then whatever administration is in power, they're going to tout consumer spending numbers. If the housing market is doing terribly, and you want to falsely, or maybe accurately, and you want to smear the administration in power, you talk about how terrible the housing numbers are. You can talk about the stock market. You can talk about the jobless claims. You can talk about payroll being up, down. There are a million different ways you can talk about the economy. And the people who use any one of these metrics usually are using the one that backs up the argument they want made. However, when it comes to consumer spending, there is something we have to acknowledge that is true. Set aside America for a moment. The Phoenicians. Have you ever heard of the Phoenicians? Phoenician societies. The Phoenicians were, and you've probably heard about Phoenician people. Maybe you didn't know they were Phoenician people. Carthage. Everyone knows about Carthage. Rome and their war with Carthage. Carthage was a Phoenician society. But the essence of Phoenician society, on top of child sacrifice, the essence of it was they were people who were great on the ocean. They were great on the sea. And they set up shop in the Mediterranean. How did they make so much money? Well, yes, they had industries like agriculture and even snails. It's a long story. All that purple dye, the reason purple was thought of the color of royalty, it's because they got the dye from a special snail that was hard to get. It was very expensive. Anyway, expensive to get something purple. But their real money, their major money, wasn't really in making things. It was in transporting things to and fro. They'll get things from here to there and there to there. That was what they did. That was how their economy was built. Different economies are built on different things. Egypt, especially during the Roman era, Egypt did food, grain, agriculture. Egypt did granite. Most of those Roman columns you see, the huge granite columns, they were shipped to Rome from Egypt. Because they could carve huge parts of granite out of Egypt, right? So every economy is built differently. In the United States of America, we are blessed beyond measure in a variety of ways, but we are blessed to have tons of natural resources. Almost an odd amount of natural resources are here. And I realize we're a big landmass, but even for our size, we just have so much stuff, minerals and oils, and but just so many things we have here. Because of that, and because we used to have a system that was free of all this climate commie gobbledygook stuff, industry here was using stuff that we had, making things here, pulling things out of the ground here, pulling things out of the ocean here. We used to have a manufacturing base that was our economy. 70% of our economy was making things here, producing things here, because we had the things, and those things were solid, those things were in-house, and so that's how we made it. But what happened was two things. Over time, we made so much money from that, while at the same time, we allowed the climate commies to infiltrate our economy, and we sent our manufacturing base overseas to countries like China. The end result is now we have the money. The money still flows through our system because of finance and the tech industry and things like that. But we don't make things. Therefore, most of our society now runs on people buying things. 70% of our economy, roughly, it's always give or take, but roughly 70% of our economy is now consumer spending. This is a terrible thing to base your economy on because it makes your economy emotions-based, meaning the stock market has a good day, you pull up your investment account on your phone, and wow, I made $2,000 today, and you think to yourself, honey, it's Red Lobster night tonight, and so you go out and you spend money, putting money back into the economy. But something bad happens here, something bad happens there. You pull up your investment account on your phone. Honey, we lost $5,000 in the stock market. Guess who's not eating out again for 6 months? Us. You're not going to that fancy place to Christmas shop. In fact, Christmas shopping this year, we're going to make homemade Christmas cards and send them to the family. Once you base your economy, as ours is, on consumer spending, then your economy is based on the emotional stability and obviously financial stability of the people in the country. It's part of why we're in such a dangerous debt bomb situation when it comes to credit card debt. This is something we brought up a lot in the Biden administration, but we are still suffering from such high credit card debt in this country by people who've just gotten over-leveraged, sometimes out of ignorance, sometimes out of necessity. And the credit cards are maxed out. Well, you don't go spend as much money on Christmas, on restaurants, on clothes, on cars, on whatever you buy. You don't spend as much money when you feel like your credit card bills are overwhelming you. You didn't do it. I didn't do it. But over a long enough period of time, the United States of America stopped being a country that just made things, produced things here, and we just started building our economy on something different. And our economy is built on you going out and spending money. Do you know how many right now, speaking of the Christmas season, do you know how many people in this country, how many businesses, I should say, in this country make almost all of their money this month? Realize that? Isn't that bonkers? But it's true. They need you buying things this month. It's Christmas time. Anyway, we'll do some more of these next.
You're listening to The Oracle.
You're gonna love this one. It's a scream, baby.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is The Jesse Kelly Show on a Wednesday. You can email us your love, your hate, your death threats. Jesse@JesseKellyShow.com. Jesse, the subject of this one is not taking calls. I'm wondering if you don't take calls because you see yourself greater than Rush, because even Rush took calls from his listeners. Well, I'm not Rush Limbaugh. And I don't want your calls. And I don't want your calls because most of them suck. I would take more calls if the calls were good. And you know what? Let me help you out, because you're not going to get calls on this show, but you're obviously someone who wants to call into radio shows. I'm sure you call into other radio shows. So in the genuine interest of helping you out, let me give this to you. You know what I have to keep in mind at all times? Whether it's a busy news day, a slow news day, no matter what's going on, I have to try to make your day a little bit better. That's my job. If I don't, you will move on and go find someone who will. Maybe that means informing. Maybe that means having a funny, something interesting, whatever. I have to make your day a little bit better, right? You with me? I have to be conscious of that you're sitting in traffic. You are working out. You're making dinner. You're mowing the lawn. You don't have all day long to wait for a caller to get to the point. This is what callers struggle with so much. Sometimes it's nerves because you got on the air and you're excited. It's a show you love, so that's understandable. Sometimes it's just nerves. Sometimes it's a politeness will doom you. Remember, I used to have this rule when we took phone calls, no small talk or I would hang up the phone on you. Everybody, whenever you hear a radio show take calls, it's, hi, how you doing? Hey, first time, long call, long time. Hey, I just wanted to let you know I'm a big fan. There's a guy out there right now driving a forklift. He's bored. The show is his entertainment. Does he want to hear that? How are you? Big fan. Does that make his day better in any way? It does not. And then we get to getting to the point. People struggle with this. They struggle with it mightily, especially when there's a limited amount of time. You don't have 5 minutes to do a long background with all these disclaimers and all these qualifiers, trying to slowly meander your way to the point you're trying to make. Again, this is not for my show, because you're not getting in on my show. This is for every time you call another show. Get to the point. Get to the point. People die. And look, this is not unique to callers. This is human beings in general when they make casual conversation. They struggle so much. I actually have a buddy. I feel bad, but at some point he's got to wake up. I have a buddy. I'm not going to name him. We hang out all the time as a big group, part of our big group. He loves to tell stories. They're usually about himself, but he loves to tell stories. He almost always gets interrupted by other people at whatever place we are because he takes so long to get to the point of the story as he meanders into this thing and that thing and that thing that he will eventually, everyone will just start talking over him. They'll change the subject. And this happens to him all the time. And I've seen it more than once. He will get frustrated and he'll leave. He'll get so frustrated about getting interrupted that he will leave. And I have never done it, but I probably should do it. Pull him aside and tell him, buddy, there's too much fat on the story here. You've got to trim some fat out. If you find yourself getting interrupted routinely, it's because, well, one of the reasons may be you can't get to the point. Nobody in their car right now in traffic wants to hear long 5-minute backgrounds before you would be better off being crazy. Chris, it used to drive Chris crazy when we would take calls. The call screener would say, hey, I think this guy's drunk. Hey, I think this lady's insane. I would put those people on right away. Why? It's not because they have a smarter point to make. They're entertaining. They're entertaining. And I'm not going to get any disclaimer stuff. It may be, Jesse, you don't understand about the chemtrails. I just had my 12th Bud Heavy, and I'm in the backyard peeing. And I just want to tell you, you're an idiot. Is that a bad call? That's an outstanding call. That's an outstanding call because you can't hang up. You can't turn off the radio. You want to see where it's going next. That's a fact. Jesse, you said Trump would have a hard time selling America's military action in Venezuela. If he came out and said, I'll get your gas under a dollar with these actions, do you think the American people would be okay with it? Maybe. That would be a sell. That would be, look, you at least have the right idea. And Donald Trump doesn't want to go into Venezuela. He doesn't want to have boots on the ground in Venezuela. That's why there's a $50 million bounty on Maduro's head right now. What Donald Trump wants is to dangle enough carrots and enough sticks out there. We have the Navy, we've closed the airspace, but there's a $50 million bounty. What he wants is a general with troops behind him to fire a bullet into the back of Maduro's head, and then he takes over, and we have a more friendly regime to the United States of America. Let's just skip past everything. That's what he wants. He wants this to be solved internally without American boots on the ground, without American blood. Donald Trump is not an interventionist. Donald Trump does not want war with Venezuela. He wants to apply just enough pressure so Venezuela takes care of itself. And historically, in Latin America, that's proven to be a fairly effective strategy. Hey, who wants 50 million bucks? Anyone want 50 million bucks? Sure would be nice if Maduro wasn't in power anymore. If you would like 50 million bucks, maybe you could make that happen. That's what he wants. Is he going to get it? I don't know. Can he get it? I don't know. But that's what he wants. Talk a little bit of fried chicken and false history next.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty on Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
As America marks its 250th anniversary, we're looking back at 2.5 centuries of rebellion and liberty through the eyes of the heroes who defended it.
The whole thing about this country is freedom. If we're not careful, we could lose that.
On Medal of Honor, Stories of Courage, we bring you the defining moments of valor that went above and beyond the call of duty. Listen to Medal of Honor on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.